Thank you very much. And just in case you might have become confused, it's not Sunday. It's what day is it? Tuesday. Anyway, that's okay. But yes, how nice to be with you. It really is wonderful. And this is my first time in this beautiful temple remedy since it's been completed. And it's magnificent. Look at that. It is just outstanding. And congratulations to His Grace Nanda Kumarprabhu and his team. There's only one problem with having a big temple room, is that when we were in the other room there, we were all right together. People were right around me, and now everyone's at a distance somewhere. So could I suggest or ask either, can you move forward, please, as much as you're able? Don't stress too much. If you're holding up the wall, don't move. It might fall over. That's nice. As we say sometimes, we will not bite you because we are vegetarian. And we had supper already. So yes, please make yourselves comfortable, relax, and let us read a verse or two or three or four or five even from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Our topic in a general sense this evening is the book distribution, Srila Prabhupada's book distribution marathon, which is starting, or perhaps has started even. And are you aware, devotees, that all you members of ISKCON Santam Yatra, you are going to distribute 5,000 books? Did you know that? There you go. Anyway, maybe some of you were aware, I'm not sure. But so it's just a wonderful subject anyway. To talk about preaching, book distribution, transcendental knowledge. It's just a wonderful subject anyway. But particularly at this time when the devotees all over the world, just everywhere, the devotees are really trying to distribute lots and lots of Srila Prabhupada's books, because Srila Prabhupada emphasized this as being really our main form of preaching, of distributing and conveying to others Krishna consciousness. So I'm going to read a few verses then from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4. I'm going to begin with verse 35. I think many of you may be familiar with 34. We won't read that, but we'll read from 35 and then read a few verses following that. And they're all on the subject of transcendental knowledge and how wonderful it is, how beneficial it is, how powerful it is, and just how absolutely essential it is. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yes, very good. So let us read first of all Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text 35. And then read on a few other verses. And then when we've read through a few other verses, we'll come back and read one of the purports by Srila Prabhupada. Yajgyatva napunarmoham evam yasyasi pandava yena bhutan yasheshani drakshas yatman yato mayi. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you'll never fall again into illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. Okay, so we'll read on verse 36. Abiched asi papebhya sarvebhya papa kritama sarvam jnana plavenaiva vrijinam santarishyasi. Even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. And let's read on another verse or two. This is now 37. Yatai damse sumido gneya basmasat kuruter jana gyanagni sarva karmani basmasat kurute tata. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. Excuse me, I've had a bit of a cold and it's lingering on a bit, but it's not too serious. Okay, now, verse 38. Nahi gyanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tatsvayam yoga samsita kali natmani vindati. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. And perhaps, what now? One more verse, 39. Shraddhava labhate jnanam tapara samyatendriya jnanam labdva param shantiam Achire na digachati. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge. And having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. So there's, what, about five verses. Very wonderful verses. Let's see. We will read one of the purports. Let's see here. I'm going to read the purport of verse 36. In fact, I'll just read 36 itself again. Apichedasi papebia sarvebia papakrit tama sarvam gyana plaveneva vrijilam santarishyasi. Even if you're considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you're situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you'll be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. And the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Proper understanding of one's constitutional position in relationship to Krishna is so nice that it can at once lift one from the struggle for existence which goes on in the ocean of nescience. This material world is sometimes regarded as an ocean of nescience and sometimes as a blazing forest. In the ocean, however expert a swimmer one may be, the struggle for existence is very severe. If someone comes forward and lifts the struggling swimmer from the ocean, he is the greatest savior. Perfect knowledge received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the path of liberation. The boat of Krishna consciousness is very simple, but at the same time, the most sublime. Nama Om Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Neravishesha Shunyavadi Vastitya Dejitane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchikapa Chalupyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Pya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So again, it's really wonderful to be here with you all, wonderful devotees. And thank you for the lovely kirtan. Has she disappeared? Oh, there she is. Yes. Thank you for the lovely kirtan at the beginning. And thank you to Nanda Kumar Prabhu for this wonderful temple room. This is just wonderful. Krishna consciousness is full of wonderful things. And as we mentioned, as we were informed, this evening we're going to focus a bit on the subject of Srila Prabhupada's book distribution marathon, which has started or is starting right around now. Are you our book distribution leader? Who is it? Oh, and? Shamakund. Okay, very good. Very good. Here, of course, we read these verses, five verses, and Lord Krishna's emphasizing the importance, the value of transcendental knowledge. It is so essential. It's just totally essential if we are to progress, if we are to become Krishna conscious to start off with, and if we are to progress in Krishna consciousness, and for the people in general, if they're to get out of Maya and become Krishna conscious and just sort of follow in the footsteps, follow what you all practicing devotees what you are doing, what many of you have been doing for quite some years. It's very important to do this, to distribute Krishna consciousness, to give people Krishna consciousness. It's very important for a number of reasons. Some are just obvious. Some are obvious. I remember when I first joined Krishna consciousness in the first week of 1973 in London, and every day our program was, every day, we all went out on Harinam. And one of my first memories of those days is a memory, very distinct memory, of singing up and down the main street of London, Oxford Street, big, big, long, long street, up and down and up and down for hours in January 1973, every single day, 6 days a week. And one of my memories is getting a cold as a result, because it was winter. It's not nice, sunny, almost too sunny South African summer, but January in London is winter, and it was cold, and I caught a cold from just going up and down. You know, it's like 5-6 hours a day just singing in the streets. And that was our program. Except for the pujaris and the deity cooks, everyone went out on Harinam. That was it. Full stop. But then after a little while, not long, after a few months, the idea of book distribution really entered into Prabhupada's movement, at least in England at that time. It had already started in America, because Srila Prabhupada had got the inspiration, realization, it had become apparent to him that in order to influence people, get people to become devotees, which is the basic idea, sort of, you could say, like a bottom line in Lord Chaitanya's movement, yes, that Harinam, chanting in the streets, of course, is very nice and should and must be done, but actually it's even more effective if the people receive the books. It has a greater effect on the people than simply hearing the chanting when the devotees are going up and down in the streets. Not that the devotees should stop doing that, chanting in the streets, but it's even more effective when they get transcendental knowledge. And this is what Lord Krishna is discussing in these verses which we just read. There's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. And that knowledge, if you take that into your heart, then you will experience, you will realize that knowledge. What does that mean? In this context, the idea is that knowledge is a form of Krishna. It's not just some information. Some do this, don't do that, or some arguments. What is good about Krishna consciousness? What is not good about other things? Although those things are there, but ultimately that transcendental knowledge is a form of the Lord. And when you apply it in one of these verses we just read, Krishna says, then you realize that knowledge. You experience that knowledge, you taste that knowledge within yourself, which means you start to realize Krishna, because he is present in that knowledge. You know, sometimes we tell the story, and actually Srila Prabhupada told the story of one devotee named Arjun Acharya. Not Arjun Acharya from Pretoria. But there was one devotee in South India many years ago named Arjun Acharya, who was a great Bhagavad Gita enthusiast, and he would read the whole book every day. Just the verses, but that's 700, it does take some hours. You know, sometimes on Gita, what do they call it? Gita Jayanti. We recite the whole Bhagavad Gita, just the verses in Sanskrit. And if you really chant fast, I think it takes about 4 hours to chant the entire Bhagavad Gita. So he would read or recite the whole Bhagavad Gita every day. He loved it. He just relished it. But unfortunately, there was one verse which he could not really digest and accept. And that was chapter 9, verse 22. Anybody knows chapter 9, verse 22? Any Bhakti Shastris here? Ananyas chintai antama yejana parupasate tesham nitya vyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. And Krishna says, those who, ananyas chintayanto mam, they're always thinking of me. Ananya means no other, nothing other than chintayanto mam, thinking about me. Nitya yukta upasate. And just always absorbed like this in Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna says, for such devotees, that I preserve what they, I carry to them what they lack, and I preserve what they have. And this devotee, Arjunacharya, he couldn't accept that, because in the sense, at least, that Krishna's saying that, what is it, tesham nityam yogdanam, yogakshemam vahami aham. Aham means I. Personally, I carry to people what they lack, and I preserve what they have. And the problem, according to Arjunacharya, was that Krishna is God. Why should he have to carry to people what they lack? Why should he have to preserve what they have? And he thought that this is the term is interpolation. Interpolation means someone has come along afterwards and changed something. Interpolation. And he thought that actually what it should be, instead of vahami, which means I carry, it should be karomi, I cause it to happen. I cause it to happen that people get what they need, and devotees at least get what they require. And if they have something they require for their Krishna consciousness, but they might lose it, then Krishna causes it that they don't lose it. So this is what he thought. So he literally cut out, with some cutting instrument, cut the word vahami out of the text. It was written on some like tree bark, you know, some sort of thick type of thing. He actually physically cut it out and physically removed the word vahami. And in its place, he put his mental speculation, karomi, I cause it to happen. Tesham nityab yukdanam yogakshemam karomyaham. it works poetically. And then he went off, thinking that yes, now, you know, we've done a good thing, improved Bhagavad Gita. And he went off to beg food for lunch. His wife waited at home. Two boys, one very black-skinned and one very white-skinned boy, they came with all sorts of food, meaning raw ingredients, rice and vegetables and so on and so forth. And they said, they knocked on the door, she opened the door, they said, the dark-skinned boy said, "We met your husband in the market. He was begging food, asking people, please give some rice or some dal or something. And we said, no problem. Look at what we've got. You can have it all. In fact, we'll take it, we'll deliver it to your home. And here we are. We're delivering it." And the lady was just so astonished and happy. She said, "You know, thank you so much. Please come and sit down. I'll cook a feast, and when my husband comes back, we'll all have a feast." And the dark-skinned boy, he said, "No, no, no. I'm not waiting for your husband to come. Because when I was there telling him, look, here's all these things, and we will deliver them, carry them to your house, he hit me on the back and he cut my back, even though I was offering like that." And the boy turned his back and the lady saw nasty cuts on his back. "Your husband did that." And she couldn't believe it. "My husband would never do such a thing." "No, he did. Look at that. So we're not staying." And they left. And then he came back. Arjunacharya came back a little later. And there's his wife cooking a big feast. And he couldn't understand, "Where did you get all this from?" And she said, "You know, it was those two boys. The dark-skinned boy, the white-skinned boy, you know, they met you in the market and they told you they would give all of this and bring it here, and they did." And Arjunacharya's thinking, "What dark-skinned boy, what white-skinned boy?" And the wife said, "You know, then that dark-skinned boy, he was offering to do this. And you hit him and you cut his back. His back was bleeding." And Arjunacharya is just bewildered. I never met such people. I never did such a thing. And then his eyes fell on that page of Bhagavad Gita where he had physically cut out the word Vahami, which means "I carry," and written his speculation, "Karomi, I cause it to happen." And then he remembered, Bhagavad Gita is not just the words of Krishna, it is Krishna. It is Krishna. It's a form of the Lord. It is Krishna's Vani. We're familiar with these terms, I think, Vapu and Vani. Vapu meaning like the visible sort of physical form. Vani, the form in the form of the instructions. But that form of the person in their instructions is no less a real form of that person. This is not just some sort of poetic abstract idea, philosophical concept, but actually it is the Lord in person. So he understood, I cut that word out of Bhagavad Gita means I cut the body of Krishna, and then I put my nonsense speculation in there. So then he put Vahami back. And he did a very nice thing. He offered his obeisances to his wife. Wouldn't it be nice if husbands did that more often? Anyway, that's another subject. We'll leave that with you. But he offered his obeisances to his wife. I was such a rascal. I cut the body of the Lord. I attacked the body of the Lord and caused him pain. But you are such a nice devotee. He personally came to you and delivered to you. And then he went running through the town, shouting, Vahami, Vahami, Vahami. And everyone thought, what happened to Arjunacharya? Maybe you've heard that story before. It's a fairly well-known story, but it's a very relevant story in this context, that when we give people transcendental knowledge, we're actually giving them Krishna. There are many forms in which people can be given Krishna, in which we can be given Krishna. There's the deity form. That's a form of Krishna. It's actually Krishna. It's not just some sort of artistic rendering. It's actually the Lord himself. Then there's, you know, deity picture. Then there's prasadam, very nice form of the Lord, and it's actually a form of the Lord. And then there's the holy names. Just like I mentioned at the beginning, we were just going out every day, just every day. Because that was what we understood to be the way for giving people Krishna consciousness. But then Srila Prabhupada gave that instruction, and he repeatedly gave the instruction. Distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. If they read one page, if they read one line, if they read one word, their lives will be changed. If you want to please me, distribute my books. These are some of Prabhupada's direct instructions. So Krishna's there in the holy names. And when we go out, as we do sometimes, distributing in the streets, chanting in the streets, so many people hear the holy names. It's very good. They're receiving Krishna. But here now we're talking about Krishna in the form of his vani, in the form of his instructions. And this is an especially effective way of giving people Krishna, and of giving people Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, one devotee just asked Prabhupada, when we meet people, should we speak to them, you know, get into a whole sort of presentation to them, try and explain things and what is Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada made it clear, better to give them a book. Prabhupada actually said, what will your speech for 2 minutes do? Or it may have been three even. But even if it was three, what will your speech for 3 minutes do? Better to give them a book. Because you give them a book, and Krishna, it is a form of Krishna. But not only is it a form of Krishna, but it's a form of Krishna which speaks. You get the deity, a picture, some prasadam, or the holy names. These are forms of Krishna, but they're not going to speak to the person generally. Not going to actually explain something to the person. But in the books, Krishna is explaining. And the people, sometimes it happens, people get a book and they take it home. There are many stories. I read one just recently. Someone got a book, took it home, put it on the bookshelf, and that was it. didn't take it out and just sort of forgot about it. And another person came and, just looking at, oh, what's this? Oh, took the book out, and suddenly it sort of exploded in their hands. Yeah. So, you know, even if you're a very good speaker, I mean, some devotees are good speakers. Even if you are a very, very good speaker, but you cannot go to the person's home and sit there for a few years, can you? Until one day they turn to you after a couple of years and say, well, what's it about anyway? You're not going to do that, right? Of course you're not. Even if you're an expert speaker, but the book, which is a form of Krishna and Prabhupada, is there, his instructions, his purports, his explanations. They're going to sit there, even sometimes for 10 years, or sometimes for 20 years, sit there, and someone is just going to come and take the book, and they're just going to start speaking. So if you think about it, it's really, you know, it's a revolutionary idea. It was Prabhupada's idea to the mass distribution of books. I was reading today, this afternoon I was reading the description of when Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Pandit, they were in Vrindavan. They were from Bengal, but they had gone to Vrindavan, and they had been instructed at length by Srila Jiva Goswami. And then Jiva Goswami decided that now is time to take the books written by himself, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, particularly those three, the Goswami writings, to take them to Bengal, because there's a huge community of devotees in Bengal, followers of Lord Chaitanya. In Vrindavan, there was a community, but nothing like at all, like in Bengal. But in those days, devotees, can you believe it? They did not have electronic media. You couldn't get Prabhupada's books on your computer or your telephone. Couldn't do it. If you wanted a book, you know, if you were in Bengal and you wanted a copy of Nectar of Devotion, you had to walk to Vrindavan and then engage someone like a scribe, a professional writer, to write out the book, which might take some months. Yeah, some months. And then you'd get your copy. And then you could go back home to Bengal with your copy. And there you go. You know, Kali Yuga is Kali Yuga, but one thing we can say is that one positive thing is that it's so much easier to get the books now. It's just so much easier. It's just another dimension altogether. So, but in those days, there was like one copy of each book, the original, done by Rupa Goswami or Jiva Goswami or whoever, and that was it. And so Jiva Goswami engaged those three, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit, to take the books to Bengal so they could be disseminated and distributed amongst the huge Vaishnav community there. So I was just reading about it today, this afternoon, how they organized it. And there was like a buffalo cart, ox cart, with a big box, and all the devotees gathered, and someone was up on the cart, and they passed a book to him. Okay, what is this? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he held it up for all the devotees to see. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And everyone was just Hari Bol into the box. And then next book, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Hari Bol into the box. They were ecstatic that now this knowledge is going to be distributed. And they actually set off on the fifth day of the bright fortnight of the month, traditionally called Agrahayana, but otherwise known as the month of Katyayani. They left Vrindavan. That this year, that day is this coming Sunday. Yeah. It's bright fortnight means the second half of the lunar month, when the moon is coming up again to full moon. When it's going down to no moon, that's the dark fortnight. So this is the month of Katyayani, Agrahayana, and on the fifth day they set off on this great mission, actually the first mission of like serious book distribution in the whole history of the movement of Lord Chaitanya. It's something you can think about on this Sunday. We'll all, I imagine, be at the Rath Yatra. Yeah. So it's something you can think about, that they set off on this day, on that day, with all the books, for them, for the books to be distributed. Yeah. Yes. So this is a very important part of Krishna consciousness, distribution of knowledge. We may tend to think, because you all, I'm looking around, and I think as I look around, I think I can say, I know every single last one of you. I think it may be one, or maybe not, who I don't know, but otherwise, basically, I know all of you. And you're all devotees. And I know quite a number of you are devotees for many years. So we may think, I've been a devotee so long. Read all the books. Done that, you know. Read Bhagavad Gita twice. I'm a seasoned veteran. So, knowledge is fine, but I sit in the class, and any time I can practically tell you the next thing that the speaker's going to say, because I've read it all. You may think like that. We may think like that. But this transcendental knowledge, it is, I mentioned in the earlier parts, that there are different ways of seeing it, the value of it, the importance, the significance, and just what it is. There are different ways of seeing it. And one way is that this knowledge is like food. It's like food, particularly for the intelligence. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes the point that one who studies this message of Bhagavad Gita worships me with his intelligence. Yeah, that's in one of the verses from Bhagavad Gita. So, yes, yeah, so it's like food. And you know, obviously food, we've all eaten food. We've all eaten food today, haven't we? We probably ate food a couple of times today. So food, it's okay. We've done the food thing. But food, you've got to eat more. Tomorrow you've got to eat more, and the next day. That's how the system works. So for ourselves, with transcendental knowledge as, in a sense, a type of food for our intelligence, our conviction, our faith, our understanding, our clarity of focus. This transcendental knowledge, we need regular doses. We need regular doses of it. Otherwise, to some degree, in a similar way as with food, if you stop eating, you know, you can carry on for a while, but after a while you can't carry on. Yeah. And the same with transcendental knowledge. In fact, we've seen in the past some devotees, like way back in Prabhupada's time even, they became very powerful leaders. Very powerful leaders. And did big things for Prabhupada's movement. And they were very busy doing those big things. But they were so busy that their chanting suffered. And even before their chanting suffered, their reading suffered. And they were able to carry on. There was some sort of residual build up within them. They were able to carry on for some time. But after perhaps a year or some period of time, then their Krishna consciousness just ran out of sort of richness, depth, and it became just like a, I don't know, like a very sort of thin and not very substantial form of Krishna consciousness. And then so many of them, unfortunately, actually just faded away altogether. So there's another way of looking at it. For us, just for us, we need transcendental knowledge. And even Prabhupada sometimes, one devotee, Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who you wouldn't know, but is a disciple of Prabhupada, he passed away unfortunately several years ago or so. Really nice devotee. He was saying he walked into Srila Prabhupada's room in Berry Place, London, 1972. And there was Prabhupada reading one of his books. And then he walked in another time after Prabhupada had finished the class, just after the class. There was Prabhupada listening to the class and obviously enjoying it. And one day, he asked Prabhupada, "Why are you listening to your class?" That's a pretty bold thing to do, really. "Why are you listening to your class?" And Srila Prabhupada told him, "Because it's not my class. It's Krishna speaking." So Prabhupada relished his own books, his own words, the knowledge which he had given, even though he was the one who actually gave it. And what to speak of us. So that's another thing. And there's another interesting, slightly more subtle point, is that transcendental knowledge is of such a nature that when you give it, when you get it, excuse me, when you receive it, you should give it. It's not like we will stockpile transcendental knowledge and just build up so much transcendental knowledge, our heads will expand like that. No, you have to give it. If you don't give it, then either one, you may lose it. If you don't give it, you may lose it. It may just sort of filter off somehow itself. Or it may kind of go a little rotten inside your head, something like that, and start sort of turning around on itself. So it's part of the process of knowledge, of course, is to receive it, but another part is to give it. And it sort of brings it around full cycle. And it's not that when you give it, then you lose it. But when you give it, Krishna gives more. Yes. And then there's another point, and this is about giving, specifically about giving to the people in general. You know, an interesting, just historical fact is that in one way or another, devotees, listen to this, in one way or another, there are different ways, there is what we call a rate of attrition in Krishna consciousness. You know what I mean by a rate of attrition? Means that in one way or another, some devotees who are devotees today, after a while, they're not devotees. Some may just drift off into material life or just drift, become more distant from Krishna consciousness, and some die. Yeah, some die. So, if we don't keep bringing in new devotees, our numbers will reduce. Yeah, and reduce. And they can actually really reduce if you're not careful. They can really reduce. Yeah. So to keep the movement healthy and buoyant and alive, we need to present the knowledge, give the knowledge, bring new people in. Yeah. It's part of the whole process which has to be there for keeping Prabhupada's movement going and keeping it alive and vibrant and developing. Yeah. So these are some thoughts. Please meditate on this. And I don't know how many of you are book distributors or who have done book distribution. I remember the first time I did book distribution, they gave me a Back to Godhead magazine and said, you know, I had not even moved into the temple. And said, here, distribute these with the Harinam party. And I said, but you know, how? And they said, well, distribute them. So there I was, I really didn't know what to do or say. But one kindly, elderly Hindu gentleman just walked up to me and said, oh, is that Back to Godhead? Yes. May I purchase one? Yes. And gave 10p, 10 pence. That's about 2 rands. And said, is that enough? Or should I give more? Yes. And then shortly after, not long after, I went out on book distribution, door to door, in London, Chelsea. Yeah, somewhere in Knightsbridge, Chelsea area. knocked on the door, knock, knock, hardbound Ishapanishad I had. Knocked on the door, some gentleman opened the door, I stuck the book in his hand, opened my mouth, and realized I didn't know what to say at all. Something came out. I can't remember what, but something, by the grace of the Lord. And he took the book. Yes. So I don't know how many of you have distributed books before. And it's a bit of a challenge sometimes. It's a bit of a challenge because you're dealing with these people who, you know, so many of these people just, it's something completely foreign to them and they don't know what it is and they got other things on their minds. They may not appreciate being accosted in the street. But if you just get into it, if we just understand, Prabhupada wanted this. Prabhupada really, really wanted this. And Prabhupada really felt that this is the best way for people to be given Krishna consciousness so that it will have the greatest effect, you know, in the quickest way. If we just can accept that and try and pray and try, then we'll find the mercy comes. Great mercy comes. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it at all. The mercy that comes when we try to preach Krishna consciousness, particularly through giving people Srila Prabhupada's books. So there's some words, some thoughts about Prabhupada's book distribution marathon. Would any of you be willing, do you think, to try and distribute a few books? We have one. We have a few. We have quite a few. Good on you. Very nice. Everybody, well, there'll be some prizes, right? Yeah, I don't know the details. Are there any like special prizes? Not this time. This is warm up. You know, after some couple, year or two, whatever, then the person who distributes the most books will get a free trip to Mayapur. Really? That's exciting. So, please, please do. Please do. Help the people and do yourself a big favor. Yes. Very big favor in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Before, thank you. Any comment or question from anyone? Nanda Kumar Prabhu, any words of wisdom? Shanaka Rishi Prabhu.
Thank you for your words of inspiration and motivation. This December marathon, I don't think we're going to just go full out like we used to in the past years, because we decided to do our marathon during the Kartik period.
Oh.
Johannesburg during December is very quiet, so people tend to go down to the coast, either to Cape Town or Durban. So we're putting more emphasis on the Kartik marathon. That's the arrangement for now.
I see. But you wouldn't stop devotees going out, would you?
No, that's the only thing. Every day I think people are encouraged to go out, so we are just waiting on a daily basis.
Okay.
That's right. The emphasis is more on how people.
I see.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.